thank you. Slight correction. We are with Shiloh. We are the traveling missionaries of Shiloh, and we get to serve in that role. We are part of Shiloh. We do get to serve with them year-round, but only on-site during the summer. To introduce myself and my family, I'm Troy. My family is right here with Melody, Kaylee, Aaliyah, and Jordan. And just turn it on. A little bit of technical difficulties. There we go. All right. So here's the girls and their ages. They are great. We love having them. Love having them grow with us and serve with us when they can. But to start, I just wanted to give you a little update on Shiloh itself. Shiloh, as you know, has been running as a camp ministry since 1937, so we are coming up on our 90th year next year. It's been a long time of faithful service trying to spread the gospel to primarily our kids. The drug companies, the tobacco companies, have it right. If you can get them when they're young, you got them for life. Let's just not do it with tobacco. So we want to teach them young who Jesus is and why they need him, and bring them into the family of God before they suffer through the sinful choices and the consequences that those bring. So our theme verse for Shiloh is study, do, and teach the word. And the focus of all of Shiloh is to do just that. We want the kids to be immersed as much as possible in the gospel. So that goes while they're at camp, and then also, as many of you probably know, with our Timothy program and our summer missionary program, where we want to have discipleship with them throughout the year. Shiloh, that's the wrong, no, it's not. There we go. I'm not really good at this, but we'll get through it. Shiloh, our mission is to impact campers for Jesus Christ. And we do that, as we said, by immersing them in the gospel. We want to equip them for evangelism, equip them in understanding theology, sound doctrine, and how to be able to defend their faith. This year, Shiloh, we have increased our staff. We now have six full-time staff missionaries and families. And with this, and because of all of our volunteers, we're able to serve 466 campers this summer. That's over the course of 5 weeks of camp. And during those 5 weeks, we had, I think we had 60 Timothys come up and serve. We had 79 go through the program and complete the program. And then we had 14 summer missionaries come and serve throughout the summer. Most of them were able to serve at least most of the summer. There were a couple that, because of other obligations, or in one case, age requirements, were not able to do the entire summer. But we want to pour into these kids, and then we want to disciple them and train them, not only in the word, but in how to serve. And that is part of what the Timothy and Summer Missionary Program is all about. Aside from our summer camps, we were able to run 12, or I guess including our summer camps, we had a total of 12 Shiloh Run camps over the course of the last 12 months. And for summer, we were able to give $5,000 in scholarships to bring kids that were not able to afford it. We, as staff, we are all missionaries, and we do that in order to make sure that camp is as affordable as possible. And yet, even with that low cost, there are families that can't afford it, and we want to be able to bring them to. And so that's what those scholarships are about. Over the summer, we have 107 known spiritual decisions. This includes declarations of faith, decisions to go into ministry, decisions to join the TIM program, as well as, I think some of them are declarations that they want to find out more or to find a church that they can go to regularly. Like I said, Shiloh would not happen without the volunteers. And we have, we had over 200 volunteers this year. And many of them were you guys, whether it was work weekends or coming up and serving during camp. We appreciate it. And then aside from our camps that we run, we were also able to host 19 rental groups in the past 12 months. And our rental groups are other churches that are able to bring up their own program, whether it be a family camp, a youth group, a men's retreat, women's retreat. We have a group of pastors that come up to spend time, I think, fasting and praying and just getting in the Word together. And so that is what Shiloh is able to do throughout the year. It's not just summer camp, but it is definitely a summer camp. And we want, that is our focus, is to spread the gospel to our children. Like I said, train them up when they're young. So hopefully they don't have to make all the mistakes that would otherwise occur. So that's Shiloh. And then there's us. And this right here is home. It's a 34-foot travel trailer. It's just under 300 square feet. And despite having three young girls, it's still amazing. It is tight, but it is a very close-knit family, and I think we do really well in it. We have been in that specific RV for 6 years. It has served us the entire time we've been traveling, and we have probably put 45 to 60,000 miles just on the RV, traveling all across the U.S., serving at 30 different camps over our time. So we love camp ministry because of its impact. Like I said, it is very much... camp ministry is very much in the summer focused on kids, but throughout the year it's focused on all age groups. And it is able to impact millions over the course of each year. There are thousands of camps just in the U.S., and they range from small camps that can host 50 people at a time to massive camps that can host 2,500 people at a time. And so they do a lot of different stuff, and I'm getting distracted. But part of the camp is to remove people from the distractions so that they can focus on the message. And so that is kind of our focus when we go to camps, is to impact those people, whether it be the people coming or the people serving, impact them by supporting needs of the camp. Again, allowing the campers to focus on what's important, the message of Christ. And so we do that. We try to make sure that nothing will distract them by mostly doing maintenance. That is my main focus, is maintenance. We do anything they need, but most camps need a lot of help in maintaining the facilities. So I, over the last 6 years, 30 camps, I have touched in just about every aspect of maintenance. I am not an expert, but YouTube University is a very good thing. One of the things we love about camp is that we are able to get the whole family involved, and we get to have the girls serve with us once they're done with their school. And but we, I guess, this picture up here, we, you guys are used to snow. We try to go south to get away from the snow because the RV is not really built for long-term snow duration. But in this case, we were down in San Diego, of all places, still at 4,600 feet elevation, so there's some understanding there. But we had a crazy storm, and over 2 weeks, we got about 4 or 4.5 feet of snow. This is up at elevation. The camp is built on a mountainside, and so there are no flat roads, which makes it difficult. And so we had a camp there when we had the majority of the snow come in, and so the entire team was working pretty much around the clock to clear the pathways, to clear out the vehicles, so that group could go home and the next group could come up. If we hadn't done that, the next group would not have been able to come up and experience camp. And at that camp, we had 12 people choose to follow Jesus. Every time a group comes to camp, that's the possibility. And so that, like I said, that is why we love Camp Ministry. To give you a little bit of understanding of what we have done, just over the past year, we have, each of those dots is one of the camps that we went to just in the last 12 months. And so it was kind of a West Coast tour, and I'll just give a brief update on what we did at each camp. In Washington, was kind of refreshing a couple of their rooms, freshening them up, making them a little bit more friendly and inviting to the people staying there, as well as building out a new boardwalk so that some of the trails could be used during the rainy season, which in Washington is most of the year. So very beneficial for them. Then we went down to Oregon, and they have a outdoor amphitheater that is covered. It was initially built completely open but covered so that the campers could have, again, in the long rainy season, some place to gather and have worship. But they have since enclosed it to protect from wind and rain coming through. But over the years, the siding had deteriorated and needed to be replaced. The previous year, they had had a guy come in and do the majority of it, but then the government got wind of it and said, you can't do that without a permit, even though it was just a straight replacement. So they had to pause and leave a good section of it undone for another year. And then they got the permit just before we got there, and so everything worked out. It's one of the amazing things about this is seeing God's timing. And so this is one of the times where we got to see God's timing of bringing us right at the perfect time to help them with this project. Then we went down to sunny California, where we were in Malibu, which is amazing, except we were in a canyon, so we got about 4 hours of sunlight. So not quite as amazing as we had hoped, but it was still able to go and, you know, continue to serve. Mostly it was general maintenance, updating their soap dispensers and towel dispensers, drilling through a lot of concrete to put in anchors and such for that, as well as joining in on the kitchen. And the hairnet was because I didn't realize I needed something on my head for California, and I didn't bring my hat. So that only happened once. Then we went to another camp in California. It was actually the same camp that we had previously had all the snow at. We thankfully did not have a bunch of snow. And so once again was able to go and do a lot of general maintenance, join the team, complete some projects that had been left undone from the last time I had been there. So that heater in the workshop was one that I worked on, gave them the information of what they needed to get to get it running, and 3 years later I came back and it hadn't been installed yet. So I was able to get that up and running for them, and so they finally have heat during the winter in their shop. Let's see. We left California and had a series of unexpected issues happen on our way to Texas. Had a tire blowout, had the transmission control module go out, and found cracks in the frame of the RV. All of which, by God's grace, we were able to fix pretty quickly at minimal expense. My eldest brother did pass unexpectedly from a genetic heart condition that unfortunately myself and all three girls all carry that same genetic mutation. But we were still able to go finish getting to Texas, and we're able to serve at three camps in Texas. The first one, we were there to help them, and then we're able to participate in a camp conference, which they were going to use their brand new adult conference center for. Unfortunately, their kitchen was completely empty when we got there, and still had a lot of work to do. And so, again, God's timing, was able to come in and do a lot of work to help them get the kitchen up and running. And it was running by the time we got there, or by the time the conference started, including me fixing drains as lunch was starting the first day. So then we went to our second camp in Texas. This one was a repeat that we had been at before. And they were doing a renovation of the bathroom. The shower stalls had been leaking and growing mold underneath. And so we tore out the bottom 2 feet and replaced. And once again, God's timing, not on bringing me necessarily, but they had a sewers group, and the leader of the sewers group had been a professional tiler for 10 years. And so he was able to come in and lead the tiling portion, which is good because I have minute experience on tiling. So always glad to have other volunteers bring their expertise and join in the work. Finished up in Texas with a camp that we have been to quite a few times, primarily because we have family in the area, and so we like to go there and see family and serve with this camp. And so we had a number of buildings that we were able to do some exterior work on to waterproof or finish and all that. Finished out the year of traveling in Oklahoma, where they had a new fence line that they needed gates on, and so I was able to come and help lead that project in getting those gates placed and lined up level and plumb and all in the right spacing. That was a fun one and stretched my engineering capabilities and planning capabilities of all that. But as always, it's good to learn and it's good to serve. So then we were able to come back to Shiloh. It's been a fun summer. Lots of stuff that we've been able to do, just general maintenance, keeping things running, some upgrades and the like. This year was a new one for me. I actually got to cabin lead for a week. Most of the time I felt like that's not really my calling, but it was a need and I was able to fill that. So even if you're not feeling like you're capable, you are. And you can serve in whatever capacity God calls you to do, because he is the one that provides the strength. So we've been there. We got there mid of May, and we've been there since then. We are leaving on Tuesday. So we were able to thankfully extend our stay a few days so that we could come and be with you guys today. Let's see. If we could ask for one thing, it would be prayer. God is the one who does everything. He is the one who provides, but he still calls us all to pray. And so we ask that you pray for our ministry, pray for Shiloh, and just pray. There's nothing we can do that is more effective than prayer. But you guys are close, and you can come up and serve. We would love to have you, whether it's work day, whether it's coming up and serving in the kitchen or cabin leading, or coming and helping me in maintenance. We would love to have you guys come up. Obviously, there is a financial side. Like I said, all the missionaries raise support. And Shiloh itself needs donations. So we ask that you prayerfully consider where is God asking you to donate to and use your funds to work for his kingdom. For specific prayer requests for us, ask that you pray for better management and understanding of the health struggles that specifically Melody and the girls have. They have certain health struggles that affect their nervous systems, their joints, and it is difficult at times to figure that out and to plan for. But God is good. As you have seen this year, we do see God's hand as he guides us. And even when things occur, we can see him working. Pray that we continue to see that. It is an encouragement as we see God working. And then as a parent of three girls, obviously we need help. And we need God's help to train them up and to disciple them and to lead them as they continue to grow into the wonderful young ladies that they are growing into. Jordan just, I'm not sure what to call that, but she does not like the idea of growing up. And so she was unhappy of the idea of growing up. Let's see. So our current financial support, just to let you know, we do get roughly 60% over the year. That's between what comes in from regular donors as well as one-time gifts. That's kind of what's been the norm lately, is roughly 60%. As always, God provides. Sometimes that's in, we were going to fill up our diesel, and someone says, I'm going to pay for it. Sometimes it's groceries being delivered to us, but God always provides. So as we leave, as I said, we're leaving Tuesday. We're heading up to Glacier Bible Camp up in Montana. We'll be there for, I think, 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. Then the plan is to head down to South Dakota for a month, and then continue south as, obviously, the weather gets cooler. We are scheduled to be in California at the beginning of the year, as my youngest brother is getting married. So prayers that we can find a camp that will let us store the RV for a couple of weeks as we skedaddle over there, because we don't want to take the trailer that far just to come back. Let's see. After that, we really don't know. That's one of the wonderful and sometimes concerning aspects of this ministry, is we don't know where we're going to be in 3 months. But God leads and he directs, and so it's also fun. Then the plan, skip to slide. The plan is to get back to Donnelly in mid-May and then continue to serve at Shiloh. That's kind of an update for us and our ministry. As we started this ministry, as we were getting started, one of the things that we that was kind of going through our minds, and actually went through a book on in our Sunday school is kind of what is God's will. And so that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is what is God's will and how do you find God's will? Well, first of all, I'm getting ahead of myself because I don't do this. Really, the easy way to find God's will is for him to tell us directly, right? If he just spoke audibly to you, it seems so much easier. We don't normally have that occur these days. We see in Scripture where it did happen. You had Noah, Moses, Paul. A lot of these main figures, God did speak to audibly, and he talked to them and told them what they needed to do. But even in the course of Scripture, that's only a few people. Everybody else had to rely on what God was telling them through his prophets. And that's still true for us today. We have God's word telling us what we need to do. It doesn't give us a whole lot of specifics of what our day-to-day life is supposed to be. It more tells us what our day-to-day life should be characterized by. And so, first and foremost, it is that we should be saved. God wants us to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because of his great love for us, he wants a relationship with us. He wants to save us from the pain, hardship, and the death that comes from separation from him. But he doesn't just love us and leave us to our own devices. He continually guides us through Scripture and the Holy Spirit. His will is for us to not only know him, but to grow in him. This continual process is of growing more like him, also known as sanctification, is another area where the Bible is clear, about God's will for us. We are to be transformed by Christ into who he desires for us to be." Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And 1 Peter 1:14-16 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Now, this is not a one-and-done thing. Sanctification is a daily process of grace, obedience, and surrender to God. God's will is that we continually become more like him and less like our original sinful selves. One of the best ways to do that is to follow what Scripture tells us in John 15 and abide in Christ. John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Abiding in Christ through prayer, reading Scripture, and listening to the Holy Spirit is how we bear fruit for the kingdom. That is following God's will. Scripture tells us that it is God's will for us to communicate with him constantly. And not in a "what can you do for me" way, but with awe, with gratefulness, and with the knowledge that God desires what is best for us. It's a relationship. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." But what about those day-to-day decisions, like where to live, what school to go to, what job to take? Because we rarely, if ever, get those audible directions from God. So the first thing to do is to pray and seek wisdom from God. This is not a one-time prayer. It is a consistent bringing of your request for wisdom and guidance for that specific situation to God. It's also not giving God an ultimatum. God, if you do this, I'll know the answer. God gives wisdom to those who ask, but he's not a genie that must answer the moment you request something. As James says in James 1:6a, we need to ask in faith without doubting, trusting that God will help us in the decision-making process. Second, does this align with what we know God has outlined in Scripture? So we've already discussed what he aligned, and so we need to be checking to see, does it align with those things? Does it allow for us to be sanctified? Is it going to help us in that regard, encourage us? Or is it going to make it harder for us to abide in Christ? Will you grow in sanctification with that circumstance? Or do you already know that fellowship with other believers will suffer if you make this choice? Will it affect the Bible time that you currently have? Or will it increase, decrease? What is it going to do? And you need to be realistic. Make sure that you're not sugarcoating things that could be spiritual negatives just because the choice looks attractive on the surface. Next, we should seek wise, godly counsel. Many times God helps us in the decision-making process by providing people in our lives who can help us work through these decisions. This could be a pastor, a parent that trusts God, people who both know God and you, who can then help you think through things. People who know you can speak into your life and understand how you're going to react to certain situations. And so they can help you think through these things and see things that could be a blind spot. So it is important to talk through this, through these decisions with multiple people. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety." And finally, you just have to make a decision. If you have looked at the situation, ensure that neither possibility goes against what God has said in Scripture, or puts you in a position where you can't do as God has said. You've prayed, asked for wisdom. You've listened to the advice of wise, godly people in your life, and all options are equally viable, then it is okay to simply make a decision. Trusting that God is in control and is guiding you as you have asked and as he has promised. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." So what happens if you follow a plan? What happens if you follow a plan you truly believe was God's will and it falls apart? What if that door slams in your face when you had such peace and a true sense of God leading you down this path? Well, you can still trust that God had lessons for you to learn in those circumstances, and he was right there with you through them. Your understanding of the goal was different than his. His goal was the process you went through, the growth that you had in following him. Following his will is never in vain. Is it easy to discern God's will in your life? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But it is always worth following the plan God has created for us. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He plans our steps. The key is to faithfully walk with him doing what he has asked and trusting that he guides us the entire way. It can be tricky, but it is worth seeking out His will. And that in a nutshell is what I have. If you guys would like to find out more about us, as they said, we have a table in the back with a lot of information. Melody does an amazing job sending out newsletters every 2 to 3 months. She also does a prayer calendar every month to give ways that you can pray for us, pray for camps in general, pray for Shiloh, and just pray for the ministry. And then if you're on social media, she does a great job on social media. It is all her. I am not good with any of that stuff because I don't even take pictures. She gets annoyed with me at that sometimes because I'll be halfway through the project and she's like, did you take a picture at the start? No. No. Okay, I'll take a picture now. Did you take a picture at the end? No. No, I did not. But she does a great job keeping you updated on what's going on in our lives personally as well as in ministry. And we'd love to have you guys follow along. I think that's everything I have. So I pray, and then we can finish the rest. Lord God, we thank you that you are guiding us. We thank you that you have a plan for us and that we can trust in you. I pray for camps, Lord, as they continue to share your word to encourage and to grow the people that are coming. I thank you for the refuge that it can be. I thank you that you work through us and through each one of your children in the ways that you choose to have them serve you. I pray that we will all continue to serve you faithfully and continue to seek out what you would have us do in our lives. In your name I pray. Amen.